And in order to be prepared, we have to be alert and watchful so that we don't get caught off guard. Well, today, I'm sure you've guessed by now, is Advent Sunday. And Advent is all about watching and waiting. Of course, we usually associate Advent with Christmas, but it's also seen as a time when we look to the future, to the time when Jesus will once again return. But I'm sorry to disappoint you here. That doesn't mean we can all stand around with our hands in our pockets, hoping that one day that Jesus is going to appear on a cloud and take us all away with him without us having to do anything. But in one sense, Jesus has never really left us. He's with us all the time in the form of his Holy Spirit. So what does being alert and watching mean then? Well, in a nutshell, it means that we're to go about our daily business with Jesus in mind in everything that we do. That's not just at Christmas, of course. It's true throughout the year. So, are you watching? Like the virgins in the parable from a couple of weeks ago, are you alert and awake? Are you ready for the return of Jesus? This reading from our gospel this morning comes part of a private conversation, really, between Jesus and some of his disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Jesus had just said that the Jewish temple in Jerusalem would one day be destroyed. And naturally, the disciples want to know when that's going to happen. And of course, we would too. If Jesus stood here and told us that another major disaster was about to strike Christchurch, we'd ask the same question, wouldn't we? Please tell us when. But Jesus didn't tell his disciples when. He was more concerned with making sure that they and their families and their descendants would know what to do when it did happen. It's the same with us. God remains as concerned for you and your families and the people of this city and his nation as ever. And he wants us to be ready for the return of Jesus, whenever that might be. In particular, Jesus wanted to ensure his disciples that they wouldn't be led astray in their faith. And he needed them to know that his followers might face terrible persecution and even betrayal, and by members of their own family. In fact, a cursory glance around our world today tells us that Jesus' words and instructions remain as relevant today as when he spoke them. The suffering and persecuted church in Iraq, in Syria, in Indonesia, northern Nigeria, the Sudan, and many other places. The church in those places know all about Jesus' teaching. They know what it means in their daily lives. And some of us too may know what it means to be ridiculed or shunned by friends or family or others just because we're Christians. When I first became a Christian, I was bold enough to tell my family and friends about my newfound faith. My sisters thought I'd gone a bit weird. My parents thought it was just another phase I was going through, that I would someday return to normal. No hope there then. And my friends, well, they were a little more upset. I was ostracized, kicked out of the group, ignored, ridiculed, made fun of. But we have a kind and gracious God, and he gave me a new group of friends to be a part of, the church. But back to the point of this passage. These next few verses from Mark bring us a dose of reality to our somewhat complacent world. Here we see Jesus, just as we've heard him doing in Matthew's gospel over the last few weeks, urging his disciples to be alert, to keep watch lest they too be swept away in a tide of complacency before the impending disaster that's about to engulf them. But what's Jesus referring to? What is he urging his disciples to keep watch for? Well, this message of Jesus actually comes in two parts. But because our reading starts halfway through the message It's easy to misunderstand what Jesus is getting at. So we have to look back a few verses and put the passage into context. Jesus had been telling his disciples of all the things that they can expect to happen because of their faith in him. He informs them that when they preach the gospel, people won't like it. They will be arrested, flogged, brought to trial. Even their own families will betray them. Why? Because the world hates what God has done in Jesus. And if that wasn't bad enough, there will be false prophets claiming that they're the Messiah. People whose only aim is to deceive. There will be wars, violent earthquakes, and famines. And these things will only be the beginning. After that will come what people really fear, the destruction of all that they believed in. Jesus is warning his disciples not about the distant future, but what was going to happen in their near future. And history tells us what happened. A few short years after Jesus' death, there was a misguided attempt to kick the Romans out of Judea. The Romans destroyed the temple, just as Jesus said it would be. It came at the end of a terrible 4-year siege of Jerusalem by the Romans. They tried to starve out the Jews. And towards the end of that siege, its inhabitants resorted to cannibalism. Something like 1 million Jews were killed in the uprising against the Romans. And 100,000 or more were taken off into slavery. It was a devastating event for the Jewish nation. In the 3rd century, an historian wrote about it, a guy called Eusebius, and he recorded an interesting tale about these times. He notes that some Jewish Christians living in Jerusalem got out just before the siege and fled to Pella in Jordan. Why? Well, the reason Eusebius gives is they left in response to an oracle given by Revelation, a prophecy, if you like. Were they heeding Jesus' words as recorded in our gospel reading today? I suspect they were. So, just as Jesus said it would, a cataclysmic event had come to pass. Nothing could be worse for the Jewish people than to see the temple destroyed. It was the center of their religion, the center of everything that they believed. While the temple stood, all was well. For the Jews, the destruction of the temple meant that God had abandoned them. And Jesus warned his disciples what would happen, and within a generation, it did. And he warns his followers not to stay and fight with notions of misguided national loyalty, but to run for their lives. But why would God allow such a thing to happen? Well, you see, the temple was no longer relevant. Its usefulness to the worship of God had come to an end. Jesus had paid the final sacrifice, not with an animal, but with his own blood. So no further sacrifices are necessary. In allowing the destruction of the temple, God had shown the world that he no longer resides there. He has effectively passed judgment on an unbelieving and wicked generation, the generation that put his son to death. He has shown that the only sacrifice that matters was the one Jesus made on the cross. From that point on, if you want to know God, then you must first have faith in Jesus and not the temple. Because faith in the temple was a denial of what Jesus had achieved on the cross. But that was only part of what Jesus wants his disciples to know. In the second part of the reading, Jesus speaks words that are particularly relevant to us. He looks forward to the distant future, to the time when he will be with them again. That time, the time we call the second coming, things will be different. Because when Jesus comes in clouds of glory and great power, he will be coming to gather the faithful from the ends of the earth. And when he does, He will judge the world for all that it has done. Jesus paints a terrifying picture of that day. He talks about the sun being darkened, the moon not being able to give its light, and the stars falling from the sky. Whether that's a literal description of what's going to happen or not, we don't know. But it certainly is a terrifying one. And what makes it frightening is that we don't know when that day will come. That's why Jesus urges his disciples to keep watch, keep alert, to remain faithful. That Advent really should start with such a terrifying warnings of disasters is, well, it's slightly disturbing, isn't it? But it shouldn't really be a surprise to us, because Jesus just wants us to keep watch. It's a warning to shake us out of our cozy, comfortable, and these days somewhat commercialized Christmas. Because Advent is not Christmas. Advent is serious stuff. And in the light of such stark warnings, we should be encouraging one another to keep watch, to keep alert, to remain faithful to God's word as we await the coming of Jesus. Not on Christmas Day, but it is coming among us for the second time, the day when he will judge the world. That Jesus has given us warnings like that should really give us hope. You see, Jesus doesn't want his return to be a painful experience for anybody. He wants it to be joyful, as it was the first time, I'm sure. And as we will be with him when we celebrate his birth on Christmas Day. And because when he comes again, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and every person who has ever lived will face his judgment, Jesus wants us to live each day alert, awake, prepared, faithful, and looking forward, aware that he will return, aware that history will one day come to an end. So what should our response be? How might we put into practice this for our day? Well, how about living our lives in the light of eternity? And that means that everything we do, everything we say, everything we experience has a double point of reference. It's relevant now, and it's relevant for eternity. Scottish theologian William Barclay put it like this: we are like people who know that their master will come, but do not know when. We live in the shadow of eternity. That is no reason for fearful expectation, but it means that day by day our work must be completed. It means that we must so live that it does not matter when he comes. It gives us a great task of making every day fit for him to see, and being at any moment ready to meet him face to face. All life becomes a preparation to meet the King. So are you ready to meet the King? What parts of your life wouldn't want Jesus to see? Are you prepared? Are you alert and awake? Are you ready for when he comes again? If you're not, it's not too late to be ready. All you have to do is heed his words. And the great thing about the church is that, well, you're not waiting alone. We help one another in this. The church, together, helping one another through, living the lives that God wants us to live. As we look forward to Christmas, yes, we can look forward to Christmas Day and enjoy it, but we look forward to eternity. We examine our hearts and our lives through Advent to see that they do match up to the way God has called us to live. Are you alert? Are you awake? I can see a few closed eyes. Are you awake? Am I that boring this morning? Well, just think. where will we be when Jesus comes again? And then I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, this message to keep alert, to be awake, to remain faithful, Lord, to constantly live each day as if it is our last, each day as we prepare to meet you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the warning, and thank you for your Holy Spirit who helps us to live just like that. We look forward to your coming again, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the task you've given us, that while we wait for your coming again, we can live each day for you.